Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies, this postgame edition. My name is Peter Edmiston, and thank you for joining me here in 2018 for the first time. I am excited to be back. It is a postgame edition of the program. It is also a Draft Wednesday edition of the program. I'll tell you about that coming up in just a few moments. First of all, thank you for staying with me throughout the holiday period, it's been a little while. I appreciate you guys sticking around, even though we've had a little time away. Had to kind of recharge the batteries a bit. Went away for a while with the family and spent some time with my wife and kids, and kind of got away from all of this. Was away off the radio, my regular gig, and also was away from the podcast world for a little while too. Just kind of getting things reset. And spending some holidays with a little vacation time, which is nice to get every now and then. So thank you for indulging me that. I am back, and unfortunately back with another Grizzlies loss. Things got a little better when I was away, a little bit. There were some, I guess it depends on how you look at it, to be honest. I mean, maybe they got worse if you really want this thing to tank and go into the ground. But at least the Grizzlies were a little more entertaining. The offense seemed to perk up a little bit, but in the game last night against the Clippers, you saw a lot of, kind of a microcosm of the season where there were moments where it kind of all clicked and the Grizzlies looked pretty good. And then there were moments where it was just complete meltdown and nothing could really go together. It was disjointed. And in the end of the day, the Grizzlies lost because of a lot of the mistakes they made. And frankly, they just weren't good enough from a roster standpoint to compete with the Clippers. So we'll talk about that coming up. You know, over my now 15 or so years covering this team, I don't remember seeing a season quite like this where it has all gone spiraling down so spectacularly, so quickly. Kind of like the Grizzlies' three-point shooting tonight, really. They start 5 of 6 and then miss 15 of their next 18 to close out the game in pretty pitiful fashion. That's kind of where the season was. Grizzlies were, 4-0, 5-1, and now they are 12-26 after the loss to the Clippers last night. Now, from a personnel standpoint, I mentioned that you could see some of the problems coming, and it was pretty evident that the Grizzlies didn't have a whole lot that they could do to deal with Lou Williams, who racks up his 8th 30-plus point game off the bench. No surprise that it comes against the Grizzlies, that they've had a history of giving up big games to guys before and big games to guys like Lou Williams before. In fact, to Lou himself, Jamal Crawford has done it with the Clippers before. You expect that from him to some extent. What you don't necessarily expect is the one from C.J. Williams, who joins the ranks of the Grizzly Killer Club, the random player who comes out of nowhere and just puts a hurting on the Grizzlies. That was C.J. Williams. Had a nice year, been a nice story, a guy that has come in and made some waves and helped the Clippers out when they really had a lot of injury issues, a little bit in the mold of what Wayne Seldon did for the Grizzlies. But nothing like this. The dude's career high was 12, and he had 12 points in the first quarter. He finishes with 18 points overall on 7 of 10 shooting. And, that's that kind of stuff, that's the difference right there. I mean, Lou Williams getting 33, you expect that. 15 of 15 from the line, yeah, you expect that from Lou Williams. That's what he does. 18 from C.J. Williams? That you don't expect. And when you couple that with another pretty effective performance from Blake Griffin doing a passable impression of what you would rather see from Marc Gasol, and we'll get to Mark in a moment, but Blake with 21 points, 18 shots, 9 of 18 from the field, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, as he is playing more of a distributor role now that Chris Paul is not around, and when they don't have Austin Rivers to run the point, and they're still kind of getting guys back. They don't have Danilo Gallinari. They lost Patrick Beverley for the year. They've had to kind of improvise, and they've done a pretty good job of it. 9 finished with 8 wins in the month of December. Now start 2018 with this win, so 9-7 in their last 16 games. They've been pretty respectable, still on the outside looking in playoffs wise, but they've started to make a little bit of a push, and they are just a game back of the Pelicans for that eighth spot in the playoffs. So they're going to be there. They're going to be in the mix. Meanwhile, the Grizzlies, with that loss I mentioned, dropped to 12-26 on the year. That ties them in terms of games behind the Pelicans for the worst spot with the Lakers, although they still are slightly better winning percentage-wise than the Lakers. They're tied with the Orlando Magic, though, for the third worst mark in the league. And the Hawks are comfortably now in front with the worst mark in the league. And if you watch the end of their game, you'll see why. And I don't want to spoil it for you. Just go find it and watch the Hawks do tanking right. They're not going to mess around with this tank. They're going to make sure that they end up with the best possible position in this very loaded draft. So the Grizzlies, back to the Marc Gasol thing for a second. It's so frustrating. And we talk about Mark all the time for obvious reasons. He's been at the center of everything this year. The Fizdale stuff, the situation of whether or not he's going to be traded, his rant, his famous rant after the Brooklyn game. Mark has been at the center of so much of the discussion, but let's take a little closer look at Mark himself after the 38 games the Grizzlies have played thus far this year. I mentioned it's a draft Wednesday, and listen up, fantasy sports fans. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That is why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. Absolutely love it. No more getting crushed by the pros, man. All these guys with the whales, the big money, and the big algorithms and all this stuff. It's no fun. It's no fun. It's not just me that's been doing this. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft 2 for all the right reasons. Got a buddy of mine who is doing extremely well. He always talks to me about Draft because, it's a lot of fun. You can play in a real-life NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes. You get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling right now. You can join one whenever you want. They fill up every second. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOGRIZZLIES. That's right. You can play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOGRIZZLIES, but it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Grizzlies listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with me, promo code LOGRIZZLIES. That's promo code LOGRIZZLIES. Come find me on Draft. I am username Locked On Grizz with two Z's, Locked On Grizz. Come find me, follow me. We'll have a little fun on Draft. So after those 38 games that we've seen from the Grizzlies, 12-26, and Mark right now, as we speak, and this is updated after last night's game, he's got an offensive rating this year of 102.5, defensive rating of 108.3. That is his worst mark in quite a while. The interesting thing to note, though, from those numbers is that Mark's overall stats on this road trip, for example, were not especially good. Mark has not been good on this road trip, was not really good shooting the ball, scoring the ball, wasn't effective on this trip. And he actually, remarkably enough, this is kind of blew my mind. It's kind of crazy to think about. But Jarrell Martin actually made more shots on this road trip than Marc Gasol did. I mean, who in the world would have imagined that? Who in the world would have seen that coming? But that's exactly what the Grizzlies are dealing with. And tonight, or rather last night, he was a very passive version of himself. Takes just 10 shots in 36 minutes, and I get it. We're going to throw in the whole thing about double-teamed. Yeah. The guy's double-teamed. He double-teamed all the time, I know. He's constantly this, that. We debunked a lot of those numbers, actually, earlier in the season. For those of you that are longtime listeners, here on Locked On Grizzlies. But suffice to say, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And once again, the guy just was so passive coming out and didn't take a shot until midway through the second quarter. Didn't have a single attempt. Was a non-factor offensively, at least with his own offense. And it's he can be a distributor. And I thought today he did a good job, actually, in this game last night. He actually was really good passing and moving the ball. I mean, the ball moved better with Mark on the floor. So that's all true. And he did that. He did what he had to do there. But that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough for this team. And it's not enough considering the role he has to play, the leadership that he's expected to provide, the money that he makes, what he's doing for this group. He can't go 3 of 10 for 11 points in this game. And he didn't face that much defensive cover. But what's kind of interesting to think about, and I went back and kind of took a look at the numbers to see if it supported this. I get frustrated. I'm sure a lot of the fans get frustrated. You guys are getting frustrated with Mark and with the passivity on offense, and I understand that, and I think so too. But there is an interesting little thread that runs through this season, and it is that as Mark seemingly is less effective with his own personal offense, the Grizzlies are better as a team offensively. Because you hear me talking about how Mark didn't have a particularly good road trip. His shooting numbers were down. His three-point shooting numbers especially were down. I think he shot 29% from three on the road trip. And yet the Grizzlies put up some of their best offensive performances. Now, how can that be? Well, the interesting thing is I mentioned his overall offensive and defensive ratings. But in the last five games, that would be this road trip, he actually had a better offensive rating, 109.5, 7 points better than his overall season average. Had a slightly better defensive rating, 106.5, which means his net rating was actually plus three on this road trip. For a guy that's been a minus six this year, a plus three is a major improvement. So what that kind of would tend to tell you, and it's accompanied by a couple other interesting little factors. His usage rate was down. He's right around 26, 27% this year. It dropped to around 22% on the road trip. So his offensive rating goes up. The team's offensive rating goes up. They were better offensively when his usage goes down. Also, the team played faster throughout all of this. Now, I don't want to go too crazy on this because it's, you know, you're talking still a very small sample. All that stuff applies as it always does. Samples are always necessarily small in these kinds of situations. So yeah, I get all that. But what it seems to indicate is that as the usage rate for Mark goes down, the Grizzlies seem to perform better offensively. And as it has gone up, and it was, you know, around 28% through that stretch where the Grizzlies really, really struggled, the Grizzlies were at their worst, and he was at his worst from an offensive rating standpoint. And statistically, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's it's been around 41% this year, pretty much all the way around. Not a ton of difference. Like I said, he struggled a little bit on this road trip comparatively, but a lot of it is because he just didn't take as many shots. His percentages were pretty similar, but he didn't take quite as many shots, and he was worse from three, which caused those numbers to drop. So you take all that and factor it in. Think about that. Think about that. This is a guy, again, that's your best player, particularly in a time when you don't have Mike Conley, you don't have Chandler Parsons, or much of Chandler Parsons. You've still got injury issues. You've got minutes restrictions. You've got all that stuff. But yet the team still plays better offensively when Tyreek is the focal point and Mark isn't. Now, does that cement Mark's status as a second banana or third banana in many cases on a good team? Was that where he should be? Does that mean he's just kind of, he's better facilitating with this group rather than being a leader, that he can't carry that load, and that when he starts to defer even to probably inferior teammates, that things look better, that the offense is better? I think those are all fair questions at this point, given those numbers. And to me, the interesting thing is also, so if that's the case, what does that mean if you are trying to trade him? Because, you know, that's always the big thing. That's the brass ring people talk about when they talk about tanking is, well, you know, you trade Mark. You trade Mark, that means you tank the season. But the numbers indicate that may not be the case. That, you know, this team's 12-26 with Mark having played in every game. And with Mark having been a focal point in pretty much every game. This team is a legit 12-26 with this guy being in the middle of it. And that's an indictment on him. It's an indictment on the rest of the team. It's an indictment on the organization. Injuries, some stuff they can control, some stuff they can't control. I get it. But if you're selling a guy that's a max guy, you know, $23, $24 million guy for the next 2 years at least, what are you really selling? What's that team really getting? How good is Marc Gasol at this point in his career? I would suggest to you the biggest obstacle in trading Marc Gasol is Marc Gasol. And not because he doesn't want to be traded or would stand in the way of being traded. It's just that I don't know how good he is at this point. And I mean that legitimately. He may be much better than he's showing. Maybe he's just demotivated by what's happened. Maybe he's, this whole thing has just caused him to regress. I know that he's not engaged defensively. All this talk I'm having is really about his offensive performance. His defensive performance has been pretty subpar all year in my mind. And, you know, some of that can be explained away by teammates and some of the coverages and, you know, some changes in the things that they've done, some poor communication, some of that can be explained away. Some of it is just he's regressed. He's not playing with force. He's not as quick to be able to recover. He's not capable of running some of the more aggressive defenses that, you know, David Fizdale really wanted to run, and even JB will run a little bit. He's not capable of doing that at this point, which does hinder his ability, especially in dealing with teams that play 4 and 5 out. That's tough. I don't know what you're getting with Marc Gasol, and I don't know what you're selling right now if you're trying to trade him. So, you know, he's not, in my mind, he's not a star player. He's a good player. He's a good, smart guy. He's a guy that's a, you know, celebrity around the world. He's all those things. Tremendous loyal guy to the city of Memphis. I think that's very true. But is he a star player? No, I don't think so. And I think that's your obstacle right there to trading Mark. Is I think you're not gonna find value for him that is going to be acceptable in the minds of most fans, and probably, I would guess, the front office, unless they're willing to kind of take a pretty big hit on this trade. We'll see if they want to do that. But I think that the chances of that happening are pretty unlikely. Also worth noting for this team, Wayne Selden's return. He returned against Sacramento, looked good again in the game against the Clippers, and you know he's on a minutes restriction, which does create problems. And he was gone for the entire second half until about 6 minutes left in the ball game when he came in and closed out, and he made a huge difference. You know, his presence out there, he was very good on Lou Williams. I mean, he would have been he airballed a wide open three, missed free throw. So offensively, you know, there's still some kinks, but you know, part of that is also that he was on the bench for a while, so he could have been maybe a little tough in terms of warming up. I don't know. But I do know that they looked more solid. He certainly showed the defensive chops that he displayed against Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs last year against the Spurs. He's a guy that wants it. He gets it. He's hungry to go after that guy. And in that way, he's got that dog in him like Tony Allen, which is a good thing, a very good thing. And he's clearly a guy that can shoot. So that's nice to have out there. And he's already, you know, much better and has jumped in, and immediately it's coincided with the Grizzlies, this offensive push, and Seldon's return has kind of meshed with Ben McLemore getting more and more DNP CDs. That would be did not play coach's decision. This is beginning to look more and more like a $11 million mistake, and a big one from the Grizzlies. It's ludicrous that Tyreek Evans is making a little over $3 million and Ben McLemore is almost making, what, double that or about 80% more? I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd. But that's kind of where things are right now with this team and the decisions that they made in free agency. You know, McLemore can't play. He just can't play. He can hit some shots, but he is low IQ basketball guy, not a good defender. All the stuff we talked about when they signed him and all the things that he displayed in Sacramento, and people tried to talk themselves out of, oh, no, Sacramento, it was that culture, it was this, it was that. No, he's just not that good. He's just not very good. And, well, the Grizzlies are finding that out, and they are playing better, albeit not great, but better without him. And when you're a team that's sort of trying to emphasize youth, and you're getting some good performances from younger players, at least like some fun type performances from younger players, you know, like Kobe Simmons, Dylan Brooks showing you some fun stuff. Deontay Davis did not have a good game against the Clippers, but has been better of late, showing you some fun stuff. The aforementioned Mr. Seldon showing you some fun stuff. When you've got that kind of a team, and this is a 24-year-old, so not an old guy, a guy that you'd feel like you'd emphasize, a team that needs scoring, a team that needs shooting constantly. He can't play? That's not good. That's not good at all. So the Grizzlies finish this road trip 2-3, 12-26 on the season. They'll come back to play the Wizards on Friday in kind of a late game. Remember, this is going to be a late tip, and we'll talk more about that, of course, over the next couple of days here on the program. We'll also talk more about this stuff with Mark and about what happens now in the season. All that will be addressed. We'll continue that discussion over the next little bit. In the meantime, you can get in touch with me, and I would love to hear from you. Email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. You can tweet me. I am @PeterEdmiston. Would love to hear from you any way you want to do it. Please feel free to do so. Thank you, as always, for listening to the pod. Thank you for being part of Locked On Grizzlies and the Locked On Podcast Network, doing some fabulous stuff across the NBA and NFL. Check it out for those of you, especially that are out of the Memphis area in another market. You want your local teams, you want local stuff. The Locked On Podcast Network gets it done. Great, great folks. Big thanks, of course, to everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network. And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll talk tomorrow here on Locked On Grizzlies.